Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. My guest today is screenwriter and Tulsa native Micah Fitzerman Blue. He's a writer and producer for the critically acclaimed Amazon series Transparent. The comedy series is the first American television program to focus on the life and family of a transgendered person and stars Jeffrey Tambor as Mara Pfefferman. The show has won numerous awards, including a Golden Globe for Best Television Series, Emmy Awards in acting, direction, and technical categories, and was the first streaming service program to win a Golden Globe Award for Best Series. Fitzerman Blue has been with the series since the start in this past season, and in the upcoming third season, he'll serve as a producer and is also the executive producer of the series Felt on Logo TV, who has written a feature, The Motel Life, which came out in 2012, and is currently working on a film project about Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers. He'll be a part of a University of Tulsa TV Writers Symposium taking place this evening at 8 o'clock at Terrell Auditorium as the University of Tulsa English, Creative Writing, and Film Studies Department hosts several television writers from shows like Transparent, Tremé, and Saving Grace. I spoke with Micah Fitzerman Blue earlier this week from the set of Transparent. Micah Fitzerman Blue, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You'll be participating in this Writers Symposium. And the last couple of years have been probably just major events in your life as you've found a hit series that is not only a hit series, but it's critically acclaimed at the same time. How did you join the Transparent team?
Transparent creator Jill Soloway has been a friend and a mentor of mine since moving out to L.A. in 2006. She was just helpful in reading some of my early awful work and giving notes and helping to improve and really inviting me into her sort of creative community. So a couple years before Transparent, we got to develop a TV show together. We went out to all the networks and no one bought it, but it was a bonding experience. And when she got the room together for Transparent, when she wrote the pilot and shot it, and it was so good, she invited me in, and I have been there since the beginning.
Yeah. What was the arc of learning about these characters? Because these characters are, well, there's no one else in television like Mara Pfefferman, and the children are each unique in their own character arcs and what we're learning about them over the first couple of years. What was it like to come into that series? The pilot, obviously, it had already been put together.
I love that you use the word learn about these characters because it is a learning experience. And for us in the writer's room, it's an act of self-discovery, of introspection. It's kind of like group therapy. And we get to learn about ourselves and then kind of bring those things out and into the lives of our characters. So, when you make a pilot of a show, it's not always the case that you know much about the people that you're, going to be living with for the next number of years. And the first season of any show, you're really trying to sort of figure out what the rules are. Where do these characters live? What details about their lives are important to you and the stories you want to tell? And as you get to know them over the course of the first season, you then can see them do what they're going to do in subsequent seasons. So season one is sort of a getting to know you. And season two and three is, okay, well, now we're old friends, and what are we going to do together?
Now, Jill Soloway said, this show, these characters are based on her family. So she obviously has some insight and probably some direction for these characters. With the lead writer and the showrunner, if you will, how do they determine the arc? Or is it a very much a collaborative process in the writer's room?
Jill's genius is to hold the space for everyone to feel like they are able to collaborate, able to add something. So Jill comes in with a few big ideas, a few big notions, a shape, sometimes a few small notions, a scene she wants to see or a moment in her life that she thought, really resonated and might be successful to explore as a way to build an episode. And it's our job as the writing staff to to take those broader ideas and to add flesh to make sure the structure makes sense and then to bring our own lives to bear onto the screen. So it is roughly based on, you know, Jill's parent came out as trans, and that was her inspiration for writing the character. But it's sort of our collective experience in our lives with our family that's also sort of a critical component of the show.
I would think the family connection is probably just the very base point. And when you have a team of creative people thinking about these characters' lives, all of a sudden the way it's ends up being portrayed on screen is entirely different. And I guess that's part of the genius of the writing room. You have all these really creative people chiming in, sometimes writing singly and sometimes all together.
Yeah, I mean, we do the best we can, but the writing doesn't end with the writer's room. We go to set with our scripts, and we help our actors understand the story. And, you know, the dialogue isn't sacrosanct. You know, it's not scripture when it comes to set. We really encourage improvisation. We want these words to feel authentic in the mouths of our actors. So on set, in a sense, the script is written a second time. And then, of course, you get into post-production, into the editing process, and the script is written again. It's reordered, it's reimagined, and it's shaped further still. So the writing process doesn't really end until the show is completely done and in the can.
Now, you and your writing partner, Noah Dempster, actually wrote the season finale for season two. That must have been a big moment, right?
Yeah. It's, you know, Noah and I did write the season finale. At the time, you know, we were producing the entire season, so the credit for the season finale, you know, it's great, it's an honor, but we tried to be as involved as possible in the whole production and help out as much as we could. The Transparent is a unique show in that a lot of the writing is very collaborative, and all the writers on our staff have different specialties, so there will be scenes that Noah and I wrote that might appear in other people's episodes. I talked about this a bit when I was talking about how the editing process is also a process of rewriting. So scenes move around and they float around. So by the time the finished product is in place, there's a bit of each of us in the entire season.
Now, how does that work collaboratively? You know, I mean, it's hard to know what that collaborative experience is like unless you actually experience it. But is it as much as one writer saying, "Oh, I've got a great line"? How does it work actually?
Yeah, the Transparent Writers' Room is a family unto itself, and there are certain rules in the family. When we're all in the room together, there are no phones, there's no computers, there's only our writer's assistant who's taking notes. There's a whiteboard, and no one is allowed to say no to any idea. You and I aren't going to argue about whether we think a character should go to a baseball game or a drugstore. Both ideas can kind of coexist until the group kind of finds its way to consensus. It's a little bit borrowing from the idea they use in improv comedy, the idea of yes and. Right. We're not in the business of shooting any idea down, so we try to build everything moving forward. And we work in the writer's room it's a four-hour day, in effect. We do 4 one-hour sessions. The idea being that to do this kind of work, it can take a lot out of you. And, I mean, how many of us actually have more than 4 productive hours in our work day? I certainly don't have more than that. I probably have 2, and I'm kind of phoning in the other 2. But it's all designed not to overwork an idea, but to keep things sort of fresh. So we work for an hour. We take a break. We work for another hour. We take lunch and so forth. And then gradually, these ideas that we come up with in our writing sessions, they kind of cohere into the shape of a season. And once we have that, we begin to build outlines of individual episodes. And once we're really happy with our 10 outlines of our 10 episodes, then we'll give outlines to individual writers who will go off, write a draft, come back, and then the process repeats itself. We look at each episode, we all vet everything, we all read through it and think of ways that we can improve what's been written. It's not a job that succeeds if you have a big ego or you're defensive about sort of your work. We're all in this together, so we're all trying to push hard and make the best product. And whether my name's on one script or another script, it's less important than all of us feeling like we've made the best product.
Is that pretty typical for a television series writing room, or is this a somewhat of a different animal?
No, it is not typical, not at all. You know, a lot of writing rooms can be kind of viper's nest of a lot of personalities. It can be really competitive. I've spent some time visiting comedy rooms, and it's a bunch of people in a room, mostly men, mostly white guys, all sitting around saying hilarious things, and no one's laughing because if you laugh, that means that joke's going up on the board and yours isn't. So it can be, and also the hours can be horrible, and not because it takes 12 hours a day to write a sitcom. It's because there's, I think, a misconception, I think in a lot of workplaces and certainly in Hollywood, that, you know, you got to put in all the hours you possibly can. You got to sacrifice everything else to make this product work. And one thing that Jill has done that I think is radical is she's tried to subvert that. She said, you don't have to pretend like you don't have a family or people you care about or a life outside of work when you come into work. And, you know, that's reflected in her hiring. A lot of my colleagues weren't screenwriters before at all. They had specific life experience and abilities that are so valuable to the writing of Transparent, but she thought she could train people who could write to write for TV, and that's what she's done.
Yeah. Now, in fact, in a pretty rare moment for a television writer's room, you and your partner, Noah, you're the minorities. It's
yeah.
Mainly female, right?
I joke that we're actually probably the last men ever to work with Jill. It sometimes feels like that. We are often the only men in the room. And it's a bit of a utopian matriarchy, if I could use that term. and we find ourselves representing the male point of view, which is something that I have I've never really had to do before. And it's interesting, and it's been great. It definitely changed my perspective really on the world working on this show.
My guest today is Micah Fitzerman-Blue. He is a writer and producer on the Amazon series Transparent. They're busy working on their third series. Of course, it tells the story of Mara Pfefferman and her children. Mara Pfefferman, portrayed by Jeffrey Tambor, who's won at least one Emmy, I think, maybe two, in portraying this wonderful character, which really portrays the transgendered community, groundbreaking television. Was there any sort of learning curve about learning about this world? I mean, I assume you have not a whole lot of experience with this world prior to working on the series.
No, I knew nothing about what it means to be transgender in America or transgender at all. I hadn't really thought about gender as a concept really before, except for in the most sort of basic terms. The first season, we were all afforded to ask questions, and I asked a lot of pretty dumb questions, but I got a lot of education. I learned so much, and, you know, we don't want the show to feel preachy or pedantic. We wanted the show to feel honest and realistic. So a lot of the ideas that we have, we try to bury in story and only bring out what we feel like is best for the story. But this is not a story that has been told before, and we're aware of that. And it's a real responsibility that we have to portray Mora, who's trans, and for the other trans characters in an honest and dignified way.
And of course, Jeffrey Tambor's acting has got to be quite inspirational, because he's been absolutely fearless in going into this.
Yeah, he's so great. He's a wonderful collaborator. He's generous to those around him, and he takes this responsibility so seriously. We have trans people in the writers' room. We have a trans director. We have a hiring policy over trying to encourage as many people who are trans and gender nonconforming to be part of our show, and frankly, to be part of Hollywood and the workforce. This is a traditionally very marginalized community of people, and we are doing what we can to give people opportunity, both in front of and behind the camera.
One of the things that's really been interesting about the show is not only are you, you know, it begins with a moment when Mort Pfefferman says, "I'm Mora Pfefferman," and you would expect this show, and it certainly does, focus on the present and the future. But you've also, in the last season especially, and I assume probably going forward, you're telling a lot of the past.
Yeah, well, we wanted to understand where this comes from and what precedent in history do we have for people living authentic lives as, however they want to live. And we actually, there was a period in the 20th century between the world wars in Berlin, of all places, where there was a flourishing trans community. This is the Weimar period in mm-hmm. Germany. And Berlin was a place where trans people were protected legally in the city, where the culture of Berlin was tolerant in a way that, frankly, we haven't yet quite achieved here in the 21st century. Because our family, the Pfefferman family in Transparent, is also a Jewish family, we decided to set a story that tells both the story of their emigration, fleeing the growing Nazi party before the Second World War, and the story of Berlin in the Weimar period, where you could be out and trans and proud.
And certainly you've told that story over the last season. Is that going to be a continuing thread in the upcoming season?
We always like to sort of challenge ourselves to do something new in each season. So we will be setting one of our episodes, and only one, in the past, but it'll be set in Los Angeles. And we're actually shooting that next week. So we have a table read on Thursday, and we'll know a lot more after that.
Now, how much of an episode can change after that first table read?
Substantially. So we are rewriting all the time. You know, the rule of thumb in on a script is, you know, it's about one page per minute. So if you can imagine a half hour show is about 30 pages for a script. For us on Transparent, we probably revise our scripts such that we're writing about 200 or 250 pages per 30-page script. So we are constantly iterating and trying to find what's right. What is the thing we most want to say? What is the truest expression of this scene? And only then are we going to bring that to set and give it to, you know, give it to Jeffrey Tambor and the rest of our cast and have them make it real.
Now, is there any differences in working on, say, an Amazon series or a Netflix series where you're usually doing smaller runs than, say, a network television series? Does that make any difference at all? Does it add to that, that 240 pages to create the final 30?
I mean, I couldn't imagine, you know, doing like a 23-episode season of a comedy. That seems like just a mountain of work. I would imagine they do it differently than we do it. The benefit of working on an Amazon show or a Netflix show is you're dropping the entire season at once. So it's less important to do, you know, what things, sort of cliffhangers that can sometimes feel a little cheap. We know that people can watch the entire thing all at once. So we're free also to I think tell a bit of a more subtle storyline because people are with us. There's not a week of your life in between episodes where you might have forgotten certain things. We don't have to do the previously on transparent. People can just kind of click through. It also helps us think of the season as sort of a 5-hour movie, which helps us structurally. You know, we can have an episode that's quieter or darker or sadder or lighter or funnier than other episodes because it's part of an overall shape, as opposed to other shows where it kind of is the same shape each time. And, you know, with other shows, with a procedural or a comedy, you can watch them out of order. You can watch them, as a snack on a plane and never watch another episode of that show ever again and still kind of get it. For our show, we do have the burden of it being so serialized that you do have to watch it in order. You do have to watch it kind of close together.
Do you actually prepare, when you're thinking of your audience, are you thinking of an audience that's going to binge watch 4 episodes at a time or maybe 5 episodes or 3 or 4 episodes at a time as opposed to...
Once
a week, you know.
Yeah, of course. The downside is, you work for 6 months on a show, and then it goes up all at once, and 5 hours later, someone's watched the entire thing, and it's over. And I would imagine that the nice thing about having a show air on conventional broadcast TV or on cable is that you get to kind of have a conversation with your audience as the show is coming out. For us, you drop it, and then you talk afterwards.
My guest today is Micah Fitzerman-Blue. He's a writer and producer on the Amazon series Transparent. He and his writing partner, Noah Dempster, have done at least one feature film, and I think you've got a screenplay that you're working on. And he'll be participating in a University of Tulsa TV Writers Symposium tonight at 8 o'clock at Terrell Hall Auditorium with several other writers from Treme, Saving Grace, and other shows. So he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. When did you decide you wanted to be a script writer or a screenwriter?
It was my senior year of college. I was a senior in college, and I knew that I wanted to write something. I wanted to be a writer. I didn't know exactly what kind of writer I wanted to be. And I actually worked briefly for a congressman who was running for Senate by the name of Brad Carson from Oklahoma. And I also worked for a publishing company. These are all sort of brief stints, internships, summer jobs. And I had a little time before my semester resumed between my first and second semester senior year, and I said, you know, what the heck, I'm going to write a screenplay. And I wrote a screenplay, and it was incredibly fun to do it. I finished it, and it was god-awful. It was one of the worst things you could possibly read. And I loved doing it so much that I wrote another one, which was maybe a little bit less bad. And then my third one I thought was really not bad. And I sent that to, you know, somebody who knew somebody. And somebody who was an assistant at an agency said, this is great. So he pretended to be an agent, and I pretended to be a screenwriter, and I moved out and, thinking that this screenplay was going to sell and I would be an overnight success, a wunderkind. Of course, it didn't happen, but I was able to meet good people, to collaborate with people who I really loved, and began to make things with them and to sort of find my own voice as a writer. And gradually, over time, the work got better, and I was able to have more opportunities.
Yeah. Now, how much of your sort of year does Transparent take up? Because it seems like it's so concentrated for a drop. Is it still a year-long job, or are you working other projects? Or?
Yeah, it feels like it takes about 16 months out of the year sometimes. It's really intense when we're in it. I've been doing Transparent straight for over a year now because we took no break between the second and third seasons. Normally, in a perfect world, we're working on Transparent for about 8 months a year, and then we have a four-month hiatus to work on other things.
Now, am I right in thinking you have a screenplay about Fred Rogers that's sort of work you're working on or have done?
Yes, that's right. I'm working on a product about Mr. Rogers. It's a real labor of love for me and my writing partner. And we have great people we're working with on it. It's the directors of Little Miss Sunshine, John Dayton and Valerie Faris. And it's a good team that we've got in place. And it's taken some time to convince the Fred Rogers estate to allow there to be a movie about Fred. And we've spent some good time in Pittsburgh trying to convince them and work through the story and meet all the people in Fred Rogers' life. But hopefully we're going to make that film early next year.
Wow. It's tentatively titled I'm Proud of You. And so have you gotten permission from the Rogers estate?
There has been a signed agreement, I'm happy to say.
That's great.
So we move forward. You know, it's really hard to make a feature film, and anything can happen. So my fingers are crossed. I'm not going to say it's a done deal, but I think we're in good shape.
Now you've done several projects which sort of involve a if not a verite, like you did a series called Felt, where it was very much a verite project of audio from real sex therapy sessions with Muppet-like characters acting it out. I think you also had a video project where it was about the invasion of Grenada. Do you like working with real-life situations, or at least sort of that stronger sense of reality?
I really enjoy having some source material to work with. It helps anchor my thinking about what the story could be. I think as a writer, or I think some people in the creative industries, they like having constraints. It helps you think creatively. So if I know that I'm writing about a real person in Fred Rogers, he can't do anything that I think it would be cool for him to do. It has to stay within the realm of reality. Yeah. And I think it helps me to go deeper into characters if I know they're rooted in reality.
All right. Well, I know you're busy working on the third season of Transparent. Do you have sort of a date that the show's looking at for launching the third season?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to wait till September for season three to come out.
All right. Well, we look forward to your appearance in Tulsa. And Micah, it's a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
Television writer and producer Micah Fitzerman-Blue speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. He's a producer and television writer for the Amazon series Transparent and will be participating in the University of Tulsa's TV Writer Symposium this evening at 8 in Turrell Hall Auditorium. For more information, call 918-631-2557. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.